chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. While you're turning there, have you ever done something that you knew was wrong, that you knew was displeasing to God, and you asked God to forgive you? Do you ever have that doubt or that moment where you said, I just don't know if God can forgive me for that? I think probably all of us have. Well, hopefully tonight you won't ever think that again, because we're going to be talking about the parable of the gracious Father. Look with me in Luke chapter 15. And I'm going to begin with verse 11. And before I read this, I just want to go on record saying, oh, what a father we have got. Oh, what a father we have got. Verse 11. And he said, this is Jesus speaking, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank thee again. Oh God, for the joy of gathering around thy word. God, we desire, Lord, to know more about you. And I pray, Father, tonight that God, you'll just take control. God, we want to understand, Lord, just how you are. God, we want to know, Father, what a wonderful and what a gracious Father we have. I pray, God, you'll open our eyes that we might see. I pray, Father, you might bless this. Overcome, God, all my weaknesses for Jesus' sake. I pray, Father, you'll just have your way. And God, that we'll all leave this house tonight saying, oh, what a Father, what a heavenly Father we have. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray. Amen. I'm sure you all recognize this as the parable of the prodigal son. But tonight we are calling it the parable of the gracious father, because we're not going to focus on the prodigal. And we're not going to hardly any at all. And we're not going to focus on his brother at all. We're going to zero in on the father. And you know, I was thinking about it. I have heard sermon after sermon and preached sermon after sermon from this parable, but I have never heard anybody preach or teach about the Father. Zeroing in on the Father. All right. Now, we're going to do this basically verse by verse. So let's begin. I want you to notice first the problem. The problem. Look with me again at verses 11 and 12. And the Bible says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living." Now we read that, and if you don't really stop and think, you say, well, I don't see a problem there. But beloved, there is a great, great problem here. You see, we have a father who is a type of God the Father. Amen? Amen. We have, beloved, two sons who are a type of believers. The father, beloved, had two sons. Folks, when you and I get saved, God the Father becomes our heavenly Father. Now, that is amazing right there. You see, beloved, the Jews had no concept of God as the Father. But, beloved, when you and I are saved, we are born again. We are born spiritually. We are born by the Spirit of God. And God becomes, as amazing as this is, our Father. Our spiritual Father. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, our Father which art in heaven. In heaven. Ain't it wonderful to know that you got a Father in heaven? And listen, it's God Almighty. It's God Almighty. So what you've got here, beloved, is a parable. And a parable is a story, beloved, that teaches spiritual things. And this parable pictures you and I and all the saved and our Heavenly Father. Now, a problem arose, beloved, when one day the younger son goes to his father and he says, "Give me my portion." And what he was saying was, "Give me my inheritance." Folks, this boy is wanting to leave his father. He's wanting his portion so he can leave. So he can leave. Now, here's the thing. Beloved, that was unheard of in Jewish culture. You didn't get your inheritance, beloved, until the father died. Amen? And beloved, this father was still living. This boy, beloved, was in fact, listen, disgracing his father. He was disgracing him. His father that had given him life. His father, beloved, that had blessed him with all that he had. His father, beloved, that had protected him and cared for him and given him his name. He was disgracing his father. Somebody says, how do you see that? Why do you say that, preacher? What this boy was saying to his father was this: I want no more to do with you. I don't want anything else to do with you. He was saying, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance. I wish that you were dead. I don't care about you. I don't care about you. Oh, beloved, he was disgracing. He was dishonoring. He was disrespecting his father. Now, how do you think, beloved, that old man felt when that boy did that? You know, we need to stop and think about these things. How do you think that old man felt? No doubt, beloved, it broke his heart. No doubt, beloved, it hurt him beyond words. He loved his son so much, beloved. But here his son was, beloved, whom he loved, and he wanted nothing to do with the old man anymore. He wanted to leave. You know, beloved, that's exactly what Christians do when they get saved And they enjoy the blessings of God for a season, the benefits of the Father. And then one day, beloved, they go back into the world and back to the flesh and back to that life they were living before. Folks, the backslider, listen to me, disgraces the Heavenly Father. He disgraces Him. He dishonors Him. When you put on that name Christian, you represent Christ. And that word Christian means Christ-like. Then to turn, beloved, from God, to want no part of God anymore, beloved, to have no relationship with Him anymore, and go away from Him, you are disgracing Him. You are hurting God. Do you realize how much God paid for us? He paid His own Son's blood. His own Son's blood, because He loved us so much. And then, beloved, to turn and go back to the world. Oh, what a disgrace that is. But that's what so many do. We've seen it in this church. I've seen it in every church that I've been a part of, and you will see it in every church. People, beloved, who suddenly leave one day. And I mean, we've had folks who've been in our church, beloved, for years. And suddenly one day they're just gone. They're just gone. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes it's years that pass. And then one day you look up and they're gone. And they return, beloved, to the world and to the flesh. And to the flesh. Now, I'm not talking about leaving Cornerstone and going to another church. Because if you do that and it's a Bible-believing church, you're not leaving God. But I'm talking about, beloved, they leave their relationship. They leave their fellowship. They leave their companionship with God because they go back and they don't come to God's house anymore. And they don't serve Him anymore. And they live, beloved, in the world and in the flesh. They are, in effect, beloved, saying, Heavenly Father, I want nothing more to do with You. I want nothing more to do with You. I could call names right now of folks who are living that way. Living that way. I wish You were dead, God. I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired of the commandments. I'm tired of the restraints. I'm tired of Your presence in my life. They are disgracing God. God. That's what this boy did when he asked for his inheritance. And what did the father do? You know, folks, according to the Mosaic law, he could have killed that boy. And nobody would have done a thing. You see, beloved, the law of Moses said that if a man dishonor his father or his mother, then, beloved, he could be put to death. He could have said, boy, you come with me. I'm going to the elders and tell them what they had done. And they'd have picked up stones and they'd have killed that boy. That's what he could have done. Well, you know, he could have looked at his boy. And in anger, he could have said, forget You. Listen, I don't want to hear Your name anymore. You leave my house and don't come back. You know, that's exactly what that boy deserved. But instead, I want you to see the Father here. Instead, beloved, in grace and mercy and love, the Father gave that boy what he did not deserve. What he did not deserve. Oh, what a wonderful and what a gracious, loving Father He had. And what a loving, gracious Father you and I have, beloved. Because that's the way our Heavenly Father is. Thank God He doesn't give us what we deserve. Thank God He gives us. Or He works with us in grace. In grace. Beloved, that young man deserved nothing from his father. And neither does, beloved, the backslider. Neither do I. Neither do you. We deserve nothing. But no matter how we may dishonor God with our disobedience, no matter how we may, beloved, dishonor and disrespect Him with our friendship to the world, beloved, God deals with us. Woo! In grace. In grace. In grace. And aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? What if the next time you sin, God just snatched you out? That's what we deserve. Thank God He deals with us in grace, in grace. You know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't fail God. You say, boy, we need us a new preacher. Well, you find one that doesn't fail God, okay? You'll be looking long and hard. Every day, beloved, I dishonor Him by my words, by my deeds, by my thoughts, beloved, by my actions. But listen, no matter what I do, He deals with me in grace. He deals with me in love. What a wonderful Father you and I have. What a wonderful Father. I remember I had a man in my church one time, not this church, another church. When I was preaching, about like I'm preaching now, if I called this man's name, it'd shock some of you. Man was a deacon in the church. And he come up to me and he said, preacher, I want you to know I'm not that bad. I don't sin. I don't sin. And I said, brother, God's word says that you are a sinner saved by grace if you're saved. That we are all sinners. And we've got that nature in us. And the best of our ability, guess what? We give in to that. Have you ever been talking to somebody and tell a lie? And I mean, you didn't mean to, but it just come out. And you know you told it. And you walk away thinking, I shouldn't have said that. Of course you have. Of course you have. Boy, when I was dating Martha, I told a lot of lies. Of course, that was before I got saved. Amen. There's not a day goes by. Oh, but no matter what I do, He deals with me in grace. Now I want you to notice the plight of the prodigal. And we're not going to center on him, but you got to understand this to understand the Father. So the prodigal leaves his father's house. And he goes, the Bible says, to a far country. Now, the Greek word here for country is the word Chora, C-O-H-R-A. And beloved, that word means, listen, as far, the greatest, let me see if I can get this right. It means, beloved, the greatest distance from home you can get. That's what it means. Folks, he got as far from the Father as he could go. As he could go. He wanted nothing to do. He didn't want to see him or hear from him anymore. He went to a far country. See, he was running from the Father. And he was running from all that the Father stood for. So, beloved, he went as far as he could go. And all this, he had a time in that far country for a while. I mean, beloved, he partied. He partook of all the lust and all the vice that the world could offer him. The Bible calls it riotous living. And brethren, he lived riotously for as long as he could. You know, the Bible tells us there is pleasure in sin for a season. But what's the bad thing about a season? It ends, don't it? It always ends. I love spring and I love fall. But you know what? It always ends, doesn't it? And after the spring comes the summer when it's so hot. And after the fall comes the winter when it's so cold. And beloved, listen, his season of pleasure ended, you know. And it came to an end. And beloved, once that season comes to an end, then beloved, you have to face the consequences of your sin. Of your sin. And by the way, there is no sinful pleasure, no sinful thing you can do that's worth the consequences.
That's right.
That's worth the consequences. That happened to the prodigal. Beloved, listen. He may have his money ran out. His so-called friends left him. And the Bible tells us, beloved, that a famine came in the land. And there he was with no money, no place to stay, no food, beloved, no one to love him or care for him like the Father did. Like the Father did. And things got so bad that he finally, beloved, took the lowest job that a Jew could possibly take. He started feeding the hogs, feeding the swine. Look at verses 14 and 15. The Bible says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. Good times is over now. Now he's in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. Folks, you talk about low. That boy ended up feeding the hogs. Mandy likes this part because she likes hogs. Okay. I mean, beloved, listen. No Jew, beloved, would touch a pig. You see, the pigs, beloved, were considered in Mosaic law, they were called unclean. And they weren't supposed to touch them. They weren't supposed to eat them. And even to this day in Israel, you can get about anything in Israel, but you know what you can't get? You can't get no bacon, brethren, and no ham and biscuit, let me tell you. In fact, of all of Israel, there is one pig farm, and I'm surprised they allow it, but there is one pig farm in all of Israel. We rode by it, and the guide happened to tell us that's the only pig farm in the land. And beloved, that's the way, they were declared unclean by God. But he, beloved, even though he had sunk so low, he would get lower still. Look at verse 16. Look at what it says. Verse 16. It says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, I want you to get the picture. That boy had come, beloved, with money, with his daddy's inheritance. He had fine clothes. He had, if it was in the day, he'd have been driving some fancy sports car and all that kind of stuff. Beloved, he had everything when he left his father. But now, beloved, he got nothing. Not even a place. His clothes are dirty. And ragged from feeding the swine. And beloved, he's got no one to turn to, no one that cares about him. And he's sunk so low in this thing, and he's so hungry now that the Bible says he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. So hungry that he wanted, he desired the hog food, the hog feed. Beloved, he literally, listen, wanted to get down with the hogs and eat. That's what happened, beloved. That's what happens when you leave the Father's house. That's what happens, beloved, to a Christian when they turn their backs, beloved, on their heavenly Father. Somebody says, preacher, I don't know of anyone who has turned away from God who are starving as this boy was starving. Two things. Now you follow me. Two things. First, that person you know, their story ain't over yet. Who knows what lies ahead for them? I can tell you this. There are some hard times coming. there are some grievous times coming their way. But beloved, second, listen. Beloved, you are thinking in physical, material terms. This is a parable that carries a spiritual meaning. Beloved, look at this spiritually. Spiritually, beloved, those who leave God or turn their backs on God. I'm saying leave God, but turn their backs on God. Beloved, they are starving. They are in want, beloved. They have, beloved, a craving for spiritual things in them that cannot be satisfied.
Amen.
You know we all do. We all have this craving for God. Everyone, see, God made us. And God put that need, that desire, that hunger in us for God, beloved. And beloved, when one turns and walks away, beloved, that void comes back in them. And beloved, they try to feel that hunger in the hog pens of the world, in the booze and the sex and the drugs and the money and the popularity. All the things that the people in that far country say will satisfy. They try to fill that void.
That's right.
And satisfy. But nothing of this world, beloved, can fill it. Nothing of this world can satisfy that hunger. And so it was with the prodigal son. And so it is, beloved, with the backslidden Christian. Now I want you to notice this. He fain would have filled his belly. That word fain, old English word, I looked it up. It means, beloved, he desired to. He lusted for the hog feed. That's what it means. Now, he didn't actually, beloved, partake of the hog feed, but he wanted to. He lusted for it. He desired, beloved, what God forbid and what he knew God forbid. He desired. And when he got to this point, something happened. You've seen the old comic books. Somebody have an idea would come to their mind. You see a light bulb. Beloved, the light bulb went off. And suddenly, beloved, the Bible says he came to himself. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, and when he came, or let's go back up so you can see how it goes. And he fain would have filled his belly with the, he desired to fill his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And when he came to himself, suddenly the light bulb went off. Why, I don't know. Maybe it was the fact. The fact that he actually desired the hog feed that woke him up. Maybe, beloved, it was the realization that this was almost as low as he could go. Here he was lusting after hog feed. Wanting it, desiring it. But something made him stop. And think. Folks, he took a look at himself, at what he was doing, at how he was living. He saw, beloved, the consequences of his sin. God, beloved, had sent a famine, and it caused him to see.
Amen.
To see. Did you know that God will do that? Christian, you can walk away from God if you want to. But I'm telling you, God will send a famine in your life. Somebody says, preacher, what are you talking about? Maybe it's a famine of trouble and trial, such as you've never believed were possible. Maybe, beloved, it's a famine of sickness, like cancer or heart disease. Maybe, beloved, it's a famine of losing something or someone dear to you. God, beloved, will send a famine to you if you turn from Him to cause you to stop and think. But you know something? That famine was a blessing from God to that boy. Can you believe that? Because it caused him, beloved, to take note and to see. I heard about a man just the other day. A man was in a church and he was a Christian and he was serving the Lord, and he served him for, I don't know, 5, 10 years, long time. And then one day he got to looking at the world and the things of the world. He decided he was just going to quit. He was going to go, you know, and quit going to church. And he did. Quit going to church. Quit reading his Bible. Quit praying. He started concentrating all his energy on making money, on making money, on making money. And he made money. He made money. And people would go and try and talk to him about the Lord. And he wouldn't listen. Beloved, he'd run them off. He didn't want to hear it. Then one day, everything's going great. One day he went to the doctor, and the doctor said those words to him: cancer. Cancer, you got cancer. And beloved, in that moment, that man thought back. Because see, now he had nowhere to turn. He had no one to go to. He had no father. The communication with him and God was long gone. And he had nowhere to go. And beloved, he first thing he did when he left the doctor's, he went by the preacher's house. And said, "Preacher," in tears, he said, "I want you to know I've come back to God. I want to rededicate my life to God." And he did. And while he was going through his treatments, he stood up in church and he said, "Folks, I want you to know I thank God for cancer. Because it was cancer that opened my eyes and made me see what I was doing and what was really important." You know, in a way, I was thinking about this when I was getting this up. That's the story of Adam. Adam was raised in church. He professed the Lord as a little boy. He hit those 10 years. 15. He got into drugs. And that led to one thing, that led to another, and that led to another. And all those years, he had turned his back on God, turned his back on God. And I kept telling him, "Adam, son, you're going to end up in prison. That's where you're headed. You're headed for prison." And oh, he'd get thrown into jail for a few days, but that wasn't a big thing. But then the day came. Beloved, he got time. I mean big time. And there was nowhere for him to go. But he remembered. He remembered Sunday school. He remembered the preaching. He remembered the fellowship. And he remembered the love that was in the church. Amen. The love of God. And he, beloved, poured his heart out to God and asked God to forgive him and cleanse him. And to take him back. Same thing. It's the same thing. The prodigal son came to himself. And he began to remember his father. His father that loved him. And he remembered his father had servants, and those servants, oh, they fared so good. Listen, beloved, they had plenty of bread to eat, bread to spare. They had a place to sleep. They had good clothes to wear. And here he was, hungering with nothing. Look at verse 18 and 19. This is what he said. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Folks, that boy began to rehearse what he would say to his father. I have sinned, Father. I'm not worthy to be your son, to be called your son. Just make me a servant, Father. Just make me a servant. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. He came to his father. But what was going to happen? I mean, this was the father he had disgraced. This was the father that he had shamed. This was the father, beloved, that he had humiliated, beloved, but and disrespected. What would his father do? Verse 20. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You know what that lets me know? That lets me know that every day since that boy had left, that father would walk to the end of the path. He would look down that road longing, longing to see his boy coming back, coming back. And all the times he had walked and looked and stared, nothing was there. And he would turn and bow his head in dejection and go back in the house with a broken heart. Oh, but that day, whoo, that day it was different. That day that old man went out, beloved, and he looked down that road. And off in the way distance he could see a speck. And oh, beloved, how he must have shaded his eyes and looked to see, could it be, could it be? And as that boy came closer and closer, finally, he could make out his features. And he said, oh, it's him, it's him, it's my son, come home. And you know what he did? Now this is an old man. He ran. Whoa, to his son. He ran to his son. I see y'all don't see the significance of that. Let me tell you something, beloved. In those days, fathers did not run. See, beloved, he was the patriarch of the family, and a patriarch had to be, what's the word I'm looking for? Help me. Dignified, that's the word. Had to be, and it won't dignified to run. I mean, what if the neighbors saw him, you know? He was the patriarch. It wasn't dignified to run. And besides that, in those days, guess what? They didn't wear pants. They wore long, flowing robes. You ever tried to run in a long, flowing robe? First thing you got to do, you got to grab hold of it and hold it up like this. And beloved, you know what? If you ain't careful and you're running fast enough, it can almost be improper. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? That old man saw his son coming, and listen, so great was his love for his son, so great was his desire for his son, that he threw aside, beloved, the what's that word? The dignity. He threw it aside, and he heats up that gap, and he ran. Woe to his son. So great was his love. So great was his love. He got to his son. I got to say, what a father he had. Amen? What a father he had. He got to his son and he fell on his neck and kissed him. The one who disgraced him, the one who had maligned him, the one who wanted nothing to do with him. But, beloved, he kissed him. The one who had hurt him so, he kissed him. And the son began his rehearsed speech, verse 21. And the son said to him, and I can see that son just crying, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Look at verse 22. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.'" While that boy was saying, "Father, I don't deserve to be thy son," the father said to the servants, "Bring forth the best robes." There his boy was, beloved, dressed in dirty rags. That wouldn't do for his boy. No, go and get him the best robe. Amen. The best robe. Now get this. Put a ring on his finger. Beloved, the word ring here, in the Greek, it implies a signet ring. You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
It had, beloved, the emblem of the Father on that ring. You know what that boy could do with that ring? That boy could go to the marketplace, saw something he needed, pick it up. The man would say, and he would say, he'd hold that ring up, and that man would bring out the paper, and he would take that ring and lay his daddy's seal on that thing. And that meant, beloved, it was paid for.
That's right.
It was all paid for. Anything that he needed, the Father would take care of it. The Father would take care of it. Verse 23. He said, "Kill the fatted calf." And what he's saying is, I want a fellowship with my boy. Kill the fatted calf that he and I might fellowship. Now what happens, beloved, when you kill the fatted calf?
Well,
blood is shed. You know what that fatted calf that bullock is a picture of? It's a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus. Now, beloved, the blood of the bullock is applied. It's Jesus, Leviticus chapter 1. The bullock was a sacrifice, beloved, and it symbolized Jesus. His blood is applied that you and I might fellowship with God again when we, beloved, have gone off and turned away from God. Oh, what a father we have. What a father. Verse 24. "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be merry. He was dead. Dead to the Father. Dead, beloved, in fellowship. No fellowship with God. Dead in companionship. No companionship with God. Dead, beloved, in relationship. He had no relationship with God or with the Father. But the Father said, "He's dead no longer. He's alive. He's alive again." And beloved, that's what God says to us when we turn and come to Him, beloved. Back to Him in repentance. God kills the fatty calf. The blood reunites us with the Father. Puts a ring on our finger so that all that we need, our Father will supply again. the parable of the gracious Father. Oh, what a Father. What a Father you and I have in heaven. Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Brother Scott, would you close this?
Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, as God, as we close out.